εις ακροάσεως του Αγίου Ευαγγελίου, Κύριον των Θεών ημών, οικετεύσομεν.
Κύριε ελέησον, Κύριε ελέησον, Κύριε ελέησον.
Σοφία ορθή, ακούσομεν του Αγίου Ευαγγελίου, ειρήνη πάση.
Και το πνεύμα τη σου.
Εκ του κατά Ιωάννη Αγίου Ευαγγελίου το ανάγνωσμα, πρόσχομεν.
Δόξα σοι, Κύριε, δόξα σοι.
Είπεν ο Κύριος, εγώ είμαι η θύρα, διέ μου εάν της εισέλθει, σωθήσετε και εισελεύσετε και εξελεύσετε και νομήν ευρύσει. Ο κλέπτης που κέρχεται ημί να κλέψει και θύσει και απολέσει. Εγώ ήλθον ή να ζωήν έχωση και περισσόν έχωση. Εγώ είμαι ο ποιμήνο καλός, ο ποιμήνο καλός την ψυχήν αυτού τη θυσή υπέρ των προβάτων. Ο μισθωτός δε και ουκόν ποιμή ουκισή τα πρόβατα ίδια θεωρεί των λύκων ερχόμενων και αφήσει τα πρόβατα και φεύγει. Και ο λύκος αρπάζει αυτά και σκορπίζει τα πρόβατα. Ο δε μισθωτός φεύγει, ό,τι μισθωτός εστί και ουμέλει αυτό περί των προβάτων. Εγώ είμαι ο ποιμήν ο καλός και γινώσχω τα αιμά και γινώσχομαι υπό τον αιμόν, καθώς γινώσκει με ο Πατήρ, καγώ γινώσκω τον Πατέρα και την ψυχή μου τη θυμή υπέρ των προβάτων. Και άλλα πρόβατα έχω, άου και στην εκ της αυλής τα αυτής. Κάκινα με διαγαγή και της φωνής μου ακούσουσι. Και γεννήσετε μία ποιμνή εις ποιμή.
This has been already been applied to the fallen people believed to be stars during the reign of Antiochus the Epiphanes. And this goes along with what the Lord said, the magnitude of this tribulation would cause the deception of the elect, if possible. We find this reality in the Holy Scriptures, where elements of astronomy will be used to talk about the fall of great people. Prophet Daniel records this and tells us that the dragon lifted his tail toward heaven and caused the immediate fall of one-third of the stars. And here St. Andrew takes an example from the time of Antiochus, and you will see this very well when you read 1 Maccabees, where very many Jews, religious Jews, fell victims to Hellenism. They abandoned the Judaic law and became Hellenistic. They became idolaters. This was the ultimate goal of Antiochus the Epiphanes. This is what he tried to do in Palestine. He wanted to force the Jews to abandon the law and the worship of the true God and to worship idols like Zeus, Aphrodite, and so on. They built gymnasiums and they pushed the Greek lifestyle in Jerusalem, and very many Jews espoused idolatry, forgetting the faith of their fathers. This is precisely the reason behind the writing of the book Wisdom of Sirach. This book was written primarily to counteract this Hellenistic wave which dragged the Jews away from their faith. And as St. Andrew suggests here, many had fallen to this tribulation. Great scholars, great people, bright people like the sun, the stars, and the moon. So here we have the denial, the apostasy from the faith, and this especially during the days of the Antichrist, where great pressure will be applied to destroy people's faith, to deny their faith. Not to mention that the faith of the Christians of those days will be very flexible, and all this shows that people will deny their faith very easily and will be falling by the wayside. And this includes all classes of people and all positions, even those from the ranks of the clergy. We see this even in our days when priests, bishops, patriarchs can be forced to accept Freemasonry. And this was a condition to hold on to their positions. What a strange thing. What a pitiful exchange. Or they can be motivated to align themselves with the secular and politically correct worldly spirit. This is the meaning of falling stars, a darkened sun, and a darkened moon. So the first point of view interprets metaphorically, which shows the fall of great men. In other words, the spiritual skywalkers amongst the faithful become darkened, defeated, and leveled. The Lord stated this with a phrase, even the elect will be deceived if it were possible. About the other point of view, St. Andrew of Caesarea writes again, whether all this will turn out in a physical form at the glorious coming of Christ the King is known by him who possesses the mystical treasury of knowledge and wisdom. And the comments of Aretas, Bishop of Caesarea, are worthy of observation on this very subject. And he says, this vision repaints for us the events following the crucifixion, the earthquake and the shaking of the earth, the darkness of the sun, and that of the moon, having it turned to blood. So Saint Aretas remembers and relates the events during the crucifixion. The sun was actually darkened for 3 hours. Our tradition teaches, and Saint Dionysius the Areopagite records this in his writings, that the darkening of the sun took place at a universal scale because Saint Dionysius had already experienced this personally. Subsequently, when Saint Paul visited Athens, Saint Dionysius became his disciple, and he related this event to Saint Paul. But my friends, please allow me to also offer one more insertion here. When the sun stopped during the time of Joshua, this happened to be a universal phenomenon. We find this recorded in the ancient writings and in the traditions of the Native American populations. In other words, we have a universal dimension, not a local one, and this is analogous to the events after the crucifixion. Thus, Saint Dionysius the Areopagite perceived this change of the sun, which darkened for 3 hours. And it records this in his writings, and Saint Aratha says here that these were historical events which took place during Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. And this is a partial image, a typology of the things that will take place during the second coming of Christ. Please tell me, when you read the Gospels and you read that an earthquake took place, the tombs were opened from the earthquake, the sun became dark, is there any room for allegory here? Is there any room for a metaphorical understanding? Does a metaphor apply here? No, I don't think so. There's no room for allegories and metaphors here. We have a real change of the elements of nature. Therefore, all those things that took place at the crucifixion 2,000 years ago took place for a short period of time and represented a partial elemental change to show us, to give us a foretaste of what to expect when Christ comes back again at the end of history. However, in continuing, we read, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place." Now, this may initially look like a punishment for people, but it isn't exactly so. The sky receded like it was cut in two, like a scroll when it is rolled up. Here we have a magnificent alteration of the sky itself. The image is not metaphorical, but ontological, a real change, even though the terminology is metaphorical in the sense that the sky is being likened to a scroll, a book, or a stretched animal skin, according to Psalm 104. Ektinon ton uranon osiverin, literally, the one who stretches out the heavens as a piece of leather. Now, the King James says as a tent, but so the one who stretches out the heavens, and that's God, who expands the heavens like a piece of leather. So the technical terminology is metaphorical, but the event is real. It uses the form of the book of antiquity, being the scroll, whether this scroll is made from papyrus or pergamene, same thing. Papyrus was paper-like, or the pergamene was leather skin. But this book, at the two ends, it had two rollers, and the book was rolled out to open and rolled up to close. Now, the scrolls could be written on both sides, and once it was read, it would be turned inside out to read the other side. So we open it and turn it inside out. This is the image. And this means that the sky undergoes an alteration, and quite frankly, that's exactly what we've been saying all this time. The heaven will change. The earth will change. Truly, my friends, the heavens and the earth and the entire universe will change. What will it become? Something else. What exactly? David says in the 101st Psalm, "Of old you laid the foundation," the Greek says at the beginning, "but of old you laid the foundation on the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will turn them and they will be changed." So you will turn them inside out like a cloak, like an old coat, and they will be changed. Like an old coat, weathered and worn out, used to be taken to the tailor to renovate it by turning it inside out. A few decades ago, when fabric was very, very expensive, this was the case. This is how you, O Lord, you will turn the heavens, you will turn them inside out, and they will become new. Isaiah writes, and all the powers of the heavens will melt, and the sky will be rolled up like a book. But Saint Peter is even more specific. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass by with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and everything on it will be totally burned up. And we explained this previously, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. So we will look forward and will be anxiously awaiting to see the day of God. Where will it be? Not on earth. St. Paul tells us we will be caught up in clouds. Where? God knows, my friend. And here we have a universal event. The scene here is universal. God knows. One thing is for sure. We will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Peter chapter 3, verse 12, second epistle of Peter. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And righteousness means holiness. Do you remember in one of the Beatitudes that says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth? But the meek person loses his land, his farm, and everything he has. His aggressive neighbor takes him to court and takes it from him. How then, Lord, would the meek inherit the earth? What earth? This worn out and old earth? What earth? The new earth. The new earth will become the possession of the meek. The Lord is talking about the new earth. Based on all this that we have discussed, if you read the scriptures, you will be seeing and finding new things. Yes, my friends, Isaiah says in the 65th chapter, verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. We also see this toward the end of the book of the Revelation when the Lord himself says, behold, I make everything new. Why? Because they have gotten old. How, you may ask? From sin. The entire universe entered corruption when sin entered this creation. Sin, corruption, death. And now everything must become new. But let's pay attention to what St. Andrew points out. This doesn't mean that the heavens will be lost, but it will be changed to something much better according to Saint Irenaeus. And the sky will be rolled up like a book. Truly, my friend, Saint Irenaeus, in his 96th paragraph, writes these amazing words. The substance or the essence of creation will not vanish, will not disappear. For the one who constituted it is true and trustworthy. Whatever God creates does not return to zero. He created the universe from zero, but the universe will not return to zero. But only the form of this age is passing by. The form changes. The heavenly bodies will no longer be revolving like the sun and the moon and the earth. That's why they will be moved into a new form. What will they become? Part of the kingdom of God. St. Paul so refers to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. And he does this in a different context, in the context of marriage, which takes up the entire chapter, the subject of marriage and virginity. And he says the following: you overexert yourselves with weddings and ceremonies and properties and this and that. And I quote St. Paul now, and those who use this world as not misusing it or abusing it. For the form of this world is passing by. He does not say that the world is passing by or going away, but what is passing by is the form of this world. The schematics of this world will change, will pass away. It will change. And how will the people handle these changes? And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, they will run to hide in the holes of the earth. But we'll leave this for the next lesson. And St. Irenaeus continues, therefore, this world has become violated because man has become old. Man has become old. Age is connected with corruption. So the world has become old, all because of death and corruption. I remember an article from the books of the astronomer James, and this was many, many years ago. This book was translated in the Greek language, and I believe now it's out of print. And its title was, The Sun is Dying. This is also an observation of astronomy, by the way. The sun is slowly exhausted. It loses millions of tons of energy every minute. However, the death of the sun from a physical point of view will not coincide with the second coming of Christ. These two do not coincide. And St. Irenaeus continues, and for this reason, the form of these things was made temporary. That the shape of the earth and the heaven and the heavenly bodies was not made permanent, but temporal. We often worry about population explosion, how we're going to feed our children. The earth is way too small. No, my friends, the form earth is temporary. Temporary. God foreknows all things. And his will is that the form of this world will end and men will become renewed and pass from corruption to incorruption. And from now on, men will live in the new heaven and the new earth, having full communion with him. So the eternally new men will reside in the new heaven and the new earth, seeing God face to face. We're having communion with God. Therefore, the destruction of the universe is not simply a punishment, but the renewal of the universe. And when this renewal will take place, Christ will come back to receive his own, those who will have resurrected unto life eternal. My friends, all these are lofty and grand. All these show our very noble purpose in life. So let's structure our life properly according to the very things that God has prepared us for from the beginning.
Σίγαρ χρυσολόγε ημών στήριγμα. Το στόμα μου λαλήσει σοφία και η μελέτη της καρδίας μου σύνεση. Το στόμα μου λαλήσει σοφία και η μελέτη
Και υπέρ του καταξιωθήναι μας της ακροάσεως του Αγίου Ευαγγελίου Κύριον των Θεών ημών οικετεύσομεν.
Κύριε Λέησον, Κύριε Λέησον, Κύριε Λέησον.
Σοφία ορθή, ακούσομεν του Αγίου Ευαγγελίου, ειρήνη πάση.
Και το πνεύμα σου.
Εκ του κατά Ιωάννη Αγίου Ευαγγελίου το ανάγνωσμα, πρόσχομεν.
Δόξα σοι, Κύριε, δόξα σοι.
Είπεν ο Κύριος, εγώ είμαι η θύρα, διέ μου εάν της εισέλθει, σωθήσετε και εισελεύσετε και εξελεύσετε και νομήν ευρύσει. Ο κλέπτης που κέρχεται ημί να κλέψει και θύσει και απολέσει. Εγώ ήλθον ή να ζωήν έχωση και περισσόν έχωσιν. Εγώ είμαι ο ποιμήνο καλός, ο ποιμήνο καλός την ψυχήν αυτού τη θυσή υπέρ των προβάτων. Ο μισθωτός δε και ουρκών ποιμήν ουκησί τα πρόβατα ίδια θεωρεί των λύκων ερχόμενων και αφήσει τα πρόβατα και φεύγει. Και ο λύκος αρπάζει αυτά και σκορπίζει τα πρόβατα. Ο δε μισθωτός φεύγει, ό,τι μισθωτός εστί και ουμέλη αυτό περί των προβάτων. Εγώ είμαι ο ποιμήν ο καλός και γινώσχω τα αιμά και γινώσχομαι υπό των αιμών. Καθώς γινώσκει με ο Πατήρ, καγώ γινώσκω τον Πατέρα και την ψυχή μου τη θυμή υπέρ των προβάτων. Και άλλα πρόβατα έχω, αου και στην εκ της αυλής τα αυτής. Κάκινα με διαγαγήν και της φωνής μου ακούσουσι. Και γεννήσετε μία ποιμνή εις ποιμνή.